This is the Veteran Story podcast, where we chat to veterans of the armed forces to find out their stories about their careers. I'm here with John Orton at the Veterans Coffee Morning at Morecambe Football Club. How are you doing, John?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
John, tell us a little bit about what you did in the armed forces.
Well, I served in the Army Air Corps, not an overly long period, 1986 to 89. I worked in the Air Investigation Flight Safety Office, which was engineering investigation when helicopters failed, where either they either crashed or were shot down, which in one instance we actually had the tail boom of a Lynx helicopter in our office riddled with machine gun holes.
Right, okay. Well, we'll talk about those the incidents in a minute, but let's talk about you joining up. So it's 1986. Tell us where you went and what your early memories are of your years of sort of all your time training and preparing for the job.
Yeah, sure. So I joined in 86 after doing my exams as a boy soldier. Went to Sir John Moore Barracks in Winchester, where I did my 8 weeks basic training, and then after passing out from there, I then went to training squadron in Middle Wallop, where sent off to do various courses such as ground crew, which is waving ping pong bats around to land helicopters, loading missiles, refueling. Also went up to Hull to get my HGV license, and then back to depot, back down at Middle Wallop, where I did my signals training. Everybody in the Army Air Corps has those three trades: ground crew, HGV, and signals. From there, I was then sent to work with the Air Investigation Flight Safety Office, which all sounds very glamorous, but I was actually junior to the teabags. I was the go-to gopher. I made the brews, I fetched this and fetched that. So, sounds very interesting, but it was very mundane and quite boring at the times. But we did have the tail boom of a Lynx that was in our office with the machine gun holes in it, which was sent over from Armagh in Northern Ireland. And there was a general debate as to whether what types of bullets they were, because there was a raid on an armoury a few months prior, and the general assumption was that these were British machine gun holes from a stolen machine gun from this armoury. And so they had ballistic experts measuring the holes and the angles and things like that to see if that was the case. Now, I personally never got involved with that, so it would be pure speculation on my part whether or not I said there were ours, or the bullets had come from elsewhere as per the weapon as well. So the aircraft were incredibly well maintained by the air techs from the REMI, but obviously over each machine would have an amount of flight time that it could go before essential maintenance would be required, because then parts tend to fail. So half the time it would be investigating to see why a part had failed, so that then you could calibrate that backwards, if you like, to see what the what we could do to improve things. So rather than having maybe a 100 flight hour runtime for a certain component, reduce that down to 80 hours, which could then protect the air crew more than anything else, because the risk of failure diminishes. Like I said, all very boring and techy.
No, but important at the end of the day, because you know the safety of the actual crew is paramount. So I mean, that people may not realise that there's a lot of backroom, a lot of behind the scenes work goes on behind the people who are actually going out and serving.
Yeah, very much so. But I would imagine if you speak to any of the guys in this room, they will understate and underplay anything they did. So visiting different air bases and doing a few patrols, just so that we could experience what real soldiering was like.
What was that like?
I'll be completely honest, mildly terrifying in Ireland, because it was when the troubles were on. Having said that, we were stationed with a bunch of Royal Green Jackets, who we did our basic training with at Sir John Moore Barracks in Winchester, and they just took great delight in winding us up at every opportunity, you know, saying that you know, this will happen, that will happen. But that's just typical army banter more than anything else.
Now, I believe there was a story where you almost got to do quite an important job in Belize, but it was kind of snatched away from you. What happened there?
Well, we always used to have to keep overnight bags ready just in case an aircraft went down overseas. And on this particular occasion, we got a call to say that an aircraft had gone down in the jungles of Belize and we were to scramble. Now, it's important to note that there are two or three main air investigation flight safety offices in the UK at that time, one of them being at Brize Norton through the RAF. So we get the call, so we run and we're scrambling around the airbase, grabbing our pre-packed travel kits, and sprints back to airside, gets on the back of a Lynx, and then we're up in the air within about 2 or 3 minutes, and we're hot-tailing it over to Brize Norton. Just as the Lynx is landing, we're seeing a Nimrod taking off with the RAF office in the back of it, nicking our plum job in Belize. And just for context, the reason why, after all these years, I'm still bitter about it is, whilst we would have had several weeks in the jungle being subjected to some very harsh conditions, off the back of that, we would have been put up in a 4-star hotel with free food and booze for 2 weeks afterwards. So, yeah, I've never forgiven the RAF guys for stealing my holiday.
So, yeah, that's understandable, to be fair. What about people that you met during your time in the force? Did you keep in touch with anybody?
Unfortunately not. I came out in 89, so this was like pre-Facebook and MySpace days, but I was raised in Leicester, moved up to Morecambe in 1990. So those lads that I did serve with from Leicester, I've lost contact with. And it's taken me a long time to actually even just do something like joining the Morecambe Veterans Group. And I've never really explored the regimental veterans society, just because it involves going all the way down south, and that's something that I try and avoid where possible, because people are a lot friendlier up north.
That is very true. And how have you found it in terms of coming to this one at the Morecambe Football Club? You found it's quite a friendly bunch, really, isn't it?
I've made a lot of new friends, actually. It's been really good. One of my friends through Morecambe FC told me about it, who's a 20-year plus veteran, and he persuaded me to come along, and yeah, I've made some really nice new friends, and we should it's really encouraging. I just see it go from strength to strength to strength. Every time I come, there's always more people and new faces, which is incredibly encouraging.
And what have you done with your working life since leaving the army? What kind of things have you done, and what do you do now?
Well, when I left the army, I spent 7 years working as a medical technician for the Red Cross, believe it or not. And then when I decided to enter the real world and get a real job, I qualified as a financial advisor, and I've been doing that now for 25 years, which, with a new veterans hub opening on Euston Road in Morecambe, I'm going to be donating my time a couple of more, you know, maybe one or two mornings for a few hours, just so that if any veterans do need any advice, I can steer them in the right direction. Shameless plug, I know, but it's there and it's available, so I just want to give a little bit back more than anything. So yeah, if people have got any issues relating to finances, and it can be very bemusing and befuddling. So sometimes having a second set of eyes on it can just make things a lot easier to understand and appreciate. And a lot of times people can feel trapped by finances and they can really become overwhelming. And so just having a second set of eyes with a little bit of friendly advice as to what to do, especially for people when they've just come out of the forces, they may... I remember when I came out, it was all very confusing because you'd gone from this environment where you were guided and told what to do for so long, and then suddenly all of this is your responsibility, and that can get overwhelming for some people. And so and some people do fall foul of going into debt and other issues. And so if I can help in any small way to help them get out of that, I'd just like to be able to help where I can.
And it's a brilliant idea having that hub in the centre of Morecambe as well, somewhere where the veterans can go, you know, on a regular basis. And you know, with all the other events that are taking place as well, I think the support for veterans in the Morecambe area is better than it's ever been, I would say. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. That hub is such a good idea because it's becoming a mini community. I mean, I've met people through the Veterans Society who I've seen every home game when I come to watch Morecambe play, and recognised them, never spoke to them before. But now I'll pop over and have a drink with them after the game on a Saturday. It's just really nice. And by extenuation, the hub will just extend that beyond. So it's just becoming like a bit like a big extended family more than anything. And I'm in my mid-50s, but I've met people in their 80s going on into their 90s that I can stop and have a conversation with. And that social aspect is so important for people. It's very easy to become isolated in this world where we are now. But having the ability to get out, have a coffee, a bacon bun, sit down, chat through old stories such as "I hate the RAF for stealing my holiday." I think that kind of thing's absolutely invaluable.
Well, if the RAF are listening, you owe this man a holiday, by the way. just last thing, John, as you look back on your time in the armed forces, have you got a particular favourite memory, or what was the best thing about being part of it?
The drinking. My liver and my stomach wouldn't agree with you, but...
It sounds like there was a lot of camaraderie.
Oh, the camaraderie was amazing. The guys that I served with were, to a man, absolute lunatics. And I've got some of the best memories that I've ever had. But I would also say the fact that the Army instilled in me an element of self-discipline and self-worth, which... when I joined, I didn't have, and for that I could never thank them enough, because it's seen me good all throughout the rest of my life. So yeah, that's the biggest thing I take away from it.
Well, you can't ask for any more than that. John, lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much for chatting to the Veteran Story podcast.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.